Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm joined by Bob Flounders and Andrew P. Shea. Ross Tucker will be along shortly for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. But let's get started with Andy and Bob. Let's get to our news and notes here in quarter number one. Andy, I'm going to start with you. Penn State seems to be in a heavy-duty recruiting battle for Ohio high school quarterback Drew Aller. I was wondering, with Bo Perbula already in the fold, is this now going to start to be the new normal now? Two quarterbacks in one class, especially to make up for the fact that you anticipate half, if not more, of your quarterbacks to hit the transfer portal at some point?
Yeah, what's Penn State had? Three of the five quarterbacks that were in the room 6 months ago are gone, or 4 months ago are gone, or
exactly.
And whatever. Yeah, and the last time they recruited two quarterbacks, transfer portal. You still recruit the position. You have a quarterback locked down who I'm, as I think about it and evaluate him more, and I got to see him play a couple times this year, which was
you're talking about Bo Perbula.
I'm becoming more of a fan. He just got his 4-star. I know there's some shortcomings, but there's some growth that I see and some things that I like that I'm like, you do have a pretty good option. You don't stop recruiting the position. And if Penn State's hot and heavy in on a big name talent from Ohio, and that keeps him from going to Ohio State, maybe, that's a win for Penn State just on that.
Ohio State only wants 5-stars, Andy. I think we've been through this.
And remember, guys, they already have a commitment from the number one quarterback in the country, from Texas, okay? So you do have to remember that. But, Bob, that leads me, to the question. I was a bit surprised that they haven't dipped into the portal for a quarterback who maybe already has a little bit of experience on the field. Now, they still might be able to do that after the spring, but were you surprised that they haven't gotten another quarterback because they only have 3 scholarship quarterbacks?
Jimmy, what we don't know is maybe they were in on some of these guys and they decided to go elsewhere. I mean, there's definitely been some movement. I think there was a guy, I can't remember all the names. I know that Tennessee got a transfer portal guy that maybe could have been in the conversation for Penn State. And I think Michigan, I don't know if Michigan was in or Penn State was in for the Texas Tech kid. I think they just went to Michigan. But they might have been in on some guys. And I just, well, as far as the recruit from Ohio, I'm going to be curious to see who Penn State goes after with kind of Mike Yurcich's blessing. In other words, what is Mike Yurcich looking for in a quarterback to run his offense? And I think that Penn State's always tried to add 2 quarterbacks in every class. It's just there's a guy that jumps up the first 2 years and the other guy takes the hint and moves on, whether it's Michael Johnson or I don't know what Micah Bowens was thinking. Jake Zembek, I think, was part of a 2-quarterback class at one point, and he got hurt. He did get a chance to grow that great mustache and wear all those chains, but it didn't really help Penn State on the field. But, guys, don't you kind of feel like in every class, it's almost like a fail-safe. You want to bring 2 guys in. It increases the chances that you'll hit on one of them, and the other one can always, find some playing time elsewhere. But I think you're going to see that moving forward.
I agree. I think the quarterback is the most volatile position, and if you're in on 3 and 3 are looking at you, then you go in on 3. It's with the transfer portal, you can never have enough quarterbacks, right? More than any other position, you just simply can't have enough. And one thing, if I can real quick, Jimmy, what Bob said was about the transfer portal and Penn State looking for somebody. I think with the guys transferring out, it just tells me that something about what they're seeing in practice, and Roberson's their guy. right? Like that, they're happy with him to a degree. We don't know anything or know enough to say that, but if guys are leaving, that means that there's a something that they know that means they can't go somewhere.
I think it's a really big spring for Roberson, and to Jimmy's point, just because they haven't added a transfer guy yet doesn't mean they might not look to add one after spring, after maybe Mike has had a chance, hopefully, to get, because you right, they I know that Sean Clifford's learning a new offense, and I know that he's going to get a lot of reps, but they have to find out about Roberson, and Yurcich has to find out about Roberson, because they got some decisions to make. But they can't just go into I don't think they can just go into the season feeling pretty good about Sean Clifford and, you know, crossing their fingers that Roberson doesn't play much. I think they really have to like him.
Agreed.
My concern was a bit with the numbers. Remember a year ago, they were four deep at running back. You know, and as much as they've historically run the quarterback, you know, Roberson is one play away from being the starting quarterback. Vayu is two plays away from being your starting quarterback. I thought you would want at least another body in there, someone with a little bit of experience. Plus, there's a little bit of a void there in those classes. You know, with Micah Bowens leaving, that class now is left without. You know, when Michael Johnson leaves and Roberson stays, it's like, okay, they've determined which one they want to stay. But with Bowens, they only had one in that class, and he's gone. So that's concerning to me. Let's move on to a little bit of the other news of the week. And this is Penn State has added a couple folks to their staff. I'll start with you, Bob, with Danny O'Brien. He's a former Maryland quarterback when James Franklin was there, right? And he comes in. Is it from the Canadian Football League?
More power to Danny O'Brien for still kind of hanging in there. I can remember Bill O'Brien's first year at Penn State, and the name Danny O'Brien was all the rage, I think, that spring. Penn State's quarterback roster before the 2012 season was not exactly sexy, if I can use that word. Maybe that's the wrong word, but the choices were not. It was, you know, it was Matt McGloin, you know, he had not become the Matt McGloin that we saw in 2012. He was coming off a 2011 season. He was a little spotty. Got punched out by Curtis Drake. There was a lot of unknowns there. You guys remember that. Rob Bolden was on the roster. Another shaky Penn State prospect. And I think Paul Jones was the rounded out the trifecta. And I think Bill was in the market for a quarterback, and a lot of people thought Danny O'Brien was going to go from playing at Maryland to playing at Penn State. I think he picked Wisconsin instead. That didn't work out either. But he's, you know, here we go. It's a small world. And a decade later, he's now an analyst at Penn State. And I think, you know, I don't necessarily, sometimes I think it's the guys that don't necessarily have the great careers in college, right, that end up being maybe better analysts, because I think they really had to kind of study the game. They really kind of had to learn the game. They couldn't get by on their talent, obviously. So I think sometimes those guys make the best coaches, and I'll be curious to see if Danny can use the analyst position as a springboard the way that another former Penn Stater, Ty Howell, who was not necessarily a great player at Penn State, but he used that as a springboard to kind of start his career at Penn State as a tight ends coach.
And also, as a quarterback, you are more involved in the offense, studying, film watching. So I think there's something to be said for that. Andy, another hire was a gentleman by the name of Dow Loggins. He was hired as an analyst. He's spent many years in the NFL, which is great. But he's also, he was let go to his last position. He was the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets. And I swore to myself before the show, I was not going to make any jokes about the New York Jets offense. So I'm going to stick to that. But you've got a guy coming in, Andy, with a lot of NFL experience. That can't be bad, can it?
It can't be bad, and this is a curious thing. First of all, you just have to say Jets and number 32 offense in the NFL. That's it. You don't have to make fun of them. It was, and
I think you just did, Andy.
No, not even like
that's the definition of making fun of them.
They were the worst. It's simply a fact. Oh my gosh, they were bad. You can make fun of them for being bad, and they might be ranked 25th, and you're like, well, are they really all that bad? No, the Jets were really all that bad offensively. I'm thinking it had more to do with Adam Gase than anything else. But beside that, you know what I'm curious about, Bob, is the analyst position, right, in the college game. I'd like to follow an analyst for a Wednesday and a Thursday to find out what's an analyst do on a college coaching staff. I'm very curious. Like, the term itself lends it to give me a little bit of information, but I can't fully picture in my mind what an analyst does for a college football coaching staff.
I think it depends on where that analyst is in his life. Remember, Penn State had Jim Haslett like 5 or 6 years ago as a defensive analyst. Now, he had a more impressive resume, and I think he was a sounding board and an advisor to James Franklin and his coordinators. I think it was Brent Pry, and I think Bob Stoops was still there. I would imagine, yeah, Danny O'Brien as an analyst might be doing a little bit more legwork and grunt work, whereas a guy that coached in the NFL, I think, is more of an advisor or a guy that's got suggestions or recommendations or maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think all advisors are created equal, and I think a guy that's coming out of the NFL, I think he's probably going to have the ear of James Franklin and Mike Yurcich more so than a younger guy just coming out of college.
Yeah, he's going to have more 30,000 foot leeway than, say, Danny O'Brien, who's not going to be able to walk into James's office and give his real opinion.
When I see a guy with the title of offensive coordinator from the NFL, Bob, I somehow get the impression that he's going to spend time doing the self-scouting. You know, hey, here's what I see when I watch you guys run your offense.
A lot of sense to me. I think that's what Haslett did for James and his defense. It didn't necessarily help that defense. I think it was 2015. They were good up front, but they weren't very good in the middle or on the back end.
All right. One other quick note. We found out Christian Hackenberg is going to be a quarterback coach at the high school level. Hey, nice to see him stay in the business. Hopefully
baseball career didn't work out. Did not work out. That was short and sweet.
Yep, he's the baseball career seems to be over. Let's hope the football coaching career goes well. That is it for quarter number one in the news and notes. Stick around in quarter number two. We bring Ross in for Tucker's Tape.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about salsas like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.